And moving on to the next slide, just wanted to give some key background issues about, you know, what is this must purchase obligation? Well, first of all, I think it's important to remember that, I think I went one slide too far. There we go. Want to remember that in order to be an SPPQF in the first place, that the facility has to be no larger than 80 megawatts in size. And that issue might sound pretty simple, but with a recent FERC decision in Broadview Solar, which is discussed on my blog if you want further details, the issue of size and how to measure size has sort of been thrown into a litigation, what may turn into a litigation frenzy once we have an appeal, probably have a remand to FERC, or we may have a remand to FERC, but basically how to measure that 80 megawatts is in flux right now and may stay in flux for another year or two till things settle out after the Broadview Solar case. And also that 80 megawatts is actually not very relevant as far as the must purchase obligation goes to much of the country, because those QFs that are located in ISO and RTO regions, most of the purchasing utilities in those regions have asked for and received permission from FERC to only have to buy from 20 megawatt size QFs or smaller. So the 80 megawatts is much more relevant in the Pacific Northwest, the Southwest, other than California, and the Southeast, while the more most of the more populated areas of the country, it really is a 20 megawatt maximum size. Also, to be a SPPQF, no more than 25% of your fuel can come from a non-renewable source. And the main reason that is important, it really hadn't been for many years, but with the rise of storage and the decrease in storage prices, this becomes important. And I think we're also going to see litigation to come over storage co-located with a renewably fueled resource. I would say this, if your storage device, if you add a storage device to an existing renewable QF or SPPQF, as long as that storage is charged 100% by renewable energy, it's sort of going to be probably business as usual. Then I think there may be some challenges on the size issue. But if that storage device does not charge from a renewable resource, I think there'll be challenges to QF status, longer than normal contract negotiations. If that QF is interconnected to distribution rather than transmission, sort of going to be difficult utility by utility rules that vary widely about interconnection and getting the power to the and selling the power. Also, standard contracts may not be available to QFs paired with storage, especially, again, where those storage devices are charged from the grid as opposed to being charged from behind the QF's meter, by the renewable resource itself. Finally, the last thing to sort of say as background on the must-purchase obligation is, of course, that obligation is that the utility only has to pay an avoided cost rate, which just basically means that that rate is set at what would the utility pay, if it had to go out and buy another megawatt of electricity. And those are sort of the basic foundation of the PURPA must purchase obligation from SPPQFs. Then before we move on to Order 872 in particular, I think it's important to understand what sort of what were the results of these rules, and a little background on the history of the SPPQF must purchase obligation. Sometimes difficult to say those words. And interestingly, the relevance of the PURPA must purchase mandate for SPPQFs for many decades was largely none in the vast majority of states. If you read the paper, California and Maine were the primary exceptions. But the reality was in the 80s and 90s that given the prices of renewable technology, that SPPQFs were not generally financially viable in most states. unless they happen to be on the site co-located with some load where selling the extra energy was really more of an afterthought than a primary part of the business model. I would say this, I'm still amazed this day when I asked some clients how many HERPA contracts they have, and counting both cogeneration and SPPQFs. And some will actually say zero, and some will say, oh, two or three, five, 10. It's always surprising to me because I sort of grew up practicing, doing a lot of work with Southern California Edison, and it, along with the other California utilities, had several hundred SPPQFs and several dozen cogenerators from almost from the mid-80s onwards. But you do have to realize that, you know, the SPPQF world was very strongly associated with only a few areas of the country to begin with.